It would have been all right if England could have retained the first effect of the Reformation, have simply ousted the Catholics and kept the Church of England, then you would have had a nice uniform national church. In fact, it was assumed at this time that a men's religion ought to agree. The idea of tolerating different religion was abhorrent to most people. It was abhorrent to the Catholics, of course. There wasn't much they could do about it. It was abhorrent to the Church of England because they did what they could about the Catholics. But pretty soon they found that other Protestants were not as loyal to the Church of England as they wanted. And the rest of this spectrum then is the story of the fission. Again, I'm using a term in the physics laboratory, perhaps I shouldn't use. The fission of England religiously in this period of time. You have Catholic and then Protestant, including everybody else, and then everybody except those in the Church of England, they need a collective name. You see, I'm adding some collective names to these specific names of designated groups. What do you call a person that is not a member of the Church of England? Well, they had several names. They're commonly called now, I better give them in chronological order. They were called then separatists. Separatists. You understand that, man? They were called dissenters. Dissenters. You either assent and are a member of the real church, or you dissent and are a member of the wrong groups. Politer names are now used of these groups, and they still exist in England, a minority in the Christian and Protestant element in England. They're called in England today a free church, the free churches. That's a nice name, isn't it, compared with the others. Free churches. They are Protestants, but they dissent from the established church, the Anglican or Episcopal Church. The Presbyterians are a familiar name to us today, and they were a important group, especially in this century. They also believed in a state church. You might say they were the principal Protestant rivals to the Anglican Church, Episcopal Church, as ones that wanted to set up themselves as a state church. Their name suggests the difference between them and the Church of England. Perhaps I better go back and say a word or two more about the difference between the Church of England and the Catholics. As I said, they gave up the Pope and substitute the monarch as the head. But then from then on down, you know how you have it, Pope, archbishops, bishops, local clergymen of the Church. The Anglican Church kept all of that except the Pope. And they have their archbishops and bishops and minor clergy all down the line. But they did give up the Pope. That's one difference. They gave up very little else in Catholicism. At least at first. Very little else. They kept, for instance, the forms of the church, of the Catholic Church. Catholic Church, you know, has a regular ritual service. It has a series of events which it calls sacraments, or They include such familiar things as baptism and what they call the Mass, or we would call it in Protestant circles, the Lord's Supper. They included ordination of ministers, and they had, I think, seven. The Anglican Church abandoned some of those, but they kept, of course, the Lord's Supper, and they kept the baptism. The Catholic Church had a book of order, of procedure, the breviary, what the Protestants called the Mass book. The Catholics called the ritual of the Lord's Supper the Mass. The Protestants didn't. But the Church of England also just revised this book. It took out the reference to the Pope. Perhaps it took out two or three other things, but it left nearly everything else in the Catholic reading, at least to begin with. Now, the Presbyterians, I had differed from the Anglican Church, mainly in that they thought that the area, this is in a different area, they thought that the leadership of the church should be in the hands of elders, a plurality of persons in each congregation who made a presbytery. They play with this word meaning elder. Whereas in the Anglican Church, as in the Roman Catholic, what is called the principle of a single head. You can understand the difference. You either have a commission head of a church, or you have a president head. Well, that was at least one difference between the Presbyterians and the Anglicans. You won't expect me to explain every difference in these groups. I mean, you realize how many areas of religious difference there are. A difference of organization, and difference of belief, and difference of manner of worship are three obvious areas in which churches can differ from one another. And I can't speak of all of those. I'll just try to mention a few of them. Well, so much for this first three. I put them a little apart. I hope that I haven't made anything clear that I should at this stage tell myself now. I won't say forever after hold your peace, as they say in church, but I hope your reading will help this, and I hope this will help your reading. Now we look at the rest of the spectrum then. Terrible, isn't it? Unity all gone to pieces. When I was in Germany in 1921, there were 21 political parties in Germany. Now, from our neat point of view, that seemed to me an awfully anarchistic type of situation. We, with our neat, practically two-party system. Well, that's political, but if you have a sense of order, and if you have an idea that unity is desirable. And why would unity be desirable? For two things. One is for strength, wouldn't it be? For strength. Very convenient. And another is a theoretical reason that in the field of religion, if one thing is right, then everything else is wrong, isn't it? At least that was the assumption of most people, including people that were very much in the minority, and certainly people that were much in the majority. What we call the the acceptance of toleration in religion. Almost unheard of, at least in theory. They couldn't do too much about it, but it was offensive. In fact, as I've suggested, most of these people thought that they were right and everybody else was wrong. Of course, if you're in the minority and are living in a government where the arm of the state, that is the civil arm, is used to enforce uniformity, that was their word, uniformity in religion. If you're in the minority, then you're in favor of toleration, aren't you? You can understand that. So that there were, these people not only hoped to experience it, all of these, but including now the papists, the present Roman Catholic view I've heard is, where the Catholics are a majority, religious tolerance is out. Where the Catholics are a minority, political religious tolerance is in, or should be in. Now that may be a libel on the Catholic Church, don't quote me as affirming, but that would be a natural point of view, wouldn't it? Not only for the Catholics, but for all the rest of these.